John's Gospel, chapter 2. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 18 through the end of the chapter. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto him, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word today and help us to understand the truths that you would have for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take these truths and allow your Spirit to apply them to our hearts and our life, and Father, that we may seek to walk according to your word with you. Lord, speak to us this morning, and may your Spirit teach us the things we need to learn. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember from last Sunday afternoon, those of you who were here, the event that had occurred that the Jews were referring to. What was these things that they were referring to in the first verse that we read in verse 18? It was what Jesus had done when he'd entered the temple during the feast of the Passover. He'd come in and he'd made a whip of cords, and he had driven out all of the animals, and he'd driven out the money changers. He overturned their tables, and he had condemned them for what they were doing. The Jews that were coming to him were the Jewish leadership. And they were asking, what sign do you have for us that would enable us to say that you had the right to do this? It's very interesting. The Jews were always looking for signs. And sometimes people would condemn them because they looked for signs. They didn't want to believe unless there was a sign there. They want to have faith in God simply because he was God. It started way back when Moses led them out of Egypt, the Lord gave them all kinds of signs, and yet they were always looking for another one. It wasn't good enough. You remember when he fed them manna, and that manna was an amazing food that it could meet all of their physical needs, and it provided all the nutrients they needed, and yet it was bread from heaven. And they didn't have meat, they didn't have vegetables, all they had was manna. Yet it wasn't enough, they complained. They wanted God to do more. And that was the typical attitude that they had. And a lot of times people look at you have Christians that look at the Old Testament and look at the Jewish people, and when Jesus came, and they say, he did all these things, and yet they said, we need more signs, we need more signs. Well, I want to tell you today that people are no different today. And you have people that today would say, well, we'd believe that Jesus was God if we could just see some signs, if we could just see some miracles. The scriptures tell us that in the last days there's going to come one who's going to deceive the whole world, and one of the things he's going to use is signs and wonders, and that he's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to come to take the place of Christ and to stand against the true and the living Christ. And he's going to use signs and miracles and his ability to bring world a pseudo-peace to the world. And as you look around at the events that are happening today, you can see that people are being prepared to receive him. As you look at what's happening with the turmoil that's going on in the world and even in our own nation. It's amazing what has happened in our own country. It just on the news this morning, as I flipped on the news to find out what's happening, they were talking, everybody is coming out against the president because he said that people shouldn't allow the football and baseball players to play if they're going to not show respect for our flag and our national anthem. And so today in England, there's two teams playing from the NFL in England. The majority of the team took a knee for the American flag and the national anthem, and then stood at attention for the English national anthem. There's all kinds of things, and if you look at these things, a lot of it has to do with rebellion against authority and rebellion against the authorities that are in charge, which is really rebellion against God. And if you look at what's happening in our country, there's much division that's being gendered, racial division, all kinds of other problems, and people are crying out for a solution, for an answer. And then you look on the world scene and you have what's going on between Korea and the United States and Japan and South Korea. And if you look at the fact that the United States is the ally and the protector, if you would, of South Korea and Japan, and what North Korea is doing, we have to act. And yet, how do you act? And so we have all these things happening, and people are crying for someone who's got solutions. Well, the Bible says there's coming someone who does. At the time that Jesus came, many of the Jewish people were saying it would be wonderful if we could have power and authority again like we once had. We've come back into the land. We've got the temple. Herod has invested a lot of money into rebuilding the second temple, into adding to it. The temple was only built twice, once when it was initially built by Solomon, and then that temple was destroyed. And then when Zerubbabel came back into the land after the Babylonian captivity, he built another temple. But you can go and look at in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and see that that temple was a lot less glorious than the original one. So what are they talking about here where they're saying it took Herod 46 years to build the temple? Did Herod build the temple? No, he didn't build the temple. What he did is he remodeled and added on to and made more glorious the second temple that had been built at the time of the captivity. Now, if you go back and read in the book of Nehemiah, you will see that the people wept openly when they saw the temple and how little it was, because there were those who remembered the glory of the Temple of Solomon. And so under Herod, they were trying to get some of that glory back. And Herod did do some tremendous building. He was a tremendous builder, although he was an ungodly man. But they see that as they come to question Jesus. By what authority do you come and drive these money changers out? By what authority do you come and say that we can't set up the selling of animals in the temple as we have done? And what authority, what gives you the right to say these things? And so we want you to prove it by giving us signs and wonders to show that you are the one who has that authority. Now, Jesus knew their hearts, as we see at the end of the passage we read this morning. He knew full well what their intent was. They had no desire to receive him as Lord and Savior, and it wouldn't matter if he did signs and wonders and miracles. If he'd already done one miracle, and you can imagine that the word had got around what had happened at the wedding feast up in Cana, that there had been six giant jugs of water, and they'd all of a sudden become the most wonderful wine at the feast. And it had been done by Jesus, by his word. And all he did was speak, and it happened. And the thing is, they had signs. And there was other miracles that he evidently had done. John just says that he couldn't write down all the things that Jesus did. And so we know that there are more miracles even than are recorded in Scripture that he did that people saw. And yet they didn't believe when they saw those. And so they come to him and they say, "We'll believe and we'll think that you have this power if you show us signs and wonders." Jesus' response to them is, "There's only one sign. And you're not going to believe that anyway." And that sign is, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. That is the sign that should have been the sign that told people he was the Messiah, he had come, and they could trust in him, and he had come to deliver their sins. No man has power over death, only God. And if you stop and think about it, each one of us sitting here will one day die. And if you look at our culture, we're doing everything in our power to try and prevent death. But we can't stop it. We can prolong life. We can make people so that they live longer. But as David Hocking says, he doesn't get worried because he knows he's going to die on time. The day the scriptures tell us it's appointed unto man to die, and then comes a judgment. Who appoints it unto man to die? The Lord. He said that that is a consequence of sin. It's a consequence of what we read in the 1 Corinthians. When Adam came and Adam sinned, he brought death to the world. He brought death to all of his descendants. He brought death to God's creation, because God had given him the authority to be have dominion over it. And because of that, when he sinned, he brought death. The only way that we can be delivered from death and the consequences to it is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said and told these men, I'm going to give you a sign. And that sign is that I'm going to destroy this temple. You will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will cause it to rise again. They were looking with physical eyes. Why? Because they didn't have spiritual hearts. They really weren't seeking God. They had no real desire to know the Lord. If they did, they would have said what he is doing is correct when he drove all the money changers out of the temple. They would have said he is doing the Lord's will when he cut to the quick on the little scam that they had with selling animals to the people that came to make money and line their own pockets. They had no desire to serve God, and they had no desire to do God's will. But they demanded that he give them signs so that they could prove that he was the Messiah. As they do this, they're looking at it from a material perspective. If you've been to Jerusalem, and some of you have been to Jerusalem, you've seen some of the stones that Herod had carved to build the retaining walls. That's pretty much the majority, the western wall, the Wailing Wall, was a retaining wall for the temple. And you can go into some tunnels by the western wall and retaining wall, and you can see some additional stones that are there that were foundation stones and that Herod also relayed. And you see that these stones are massive. Some of us went down into the Mines of Solomon in Jerusalem. And it's at the Mines of Solomon that we saw where a lot of these the stones were built for the used and in mine where in Solomon built the first temple. And not all of us went in there, but I went in, and it was amazing. My wife said, I really don't want to go into a giant cave underground underneath. It was a giant, massive cave where you could see where they'd taken all the solid stone of granite and mined it out. And he kept walking and walking. And we walked for about, I suppose, 20 minutes in and 20 minutes out. And we still hadn't even gotten to the back part of it yet. There was still more to go. It was amazing. Just to see the vastness of it, it was just rocks that had been mined. But the thing is, if you look at the size of that, and then you go and you look at the stones that Herod had mined, and they were just huge. And the stones that were in the retaining wall, the stones that were in the tunnels that we saw, where you could see part of them. And it was amazing. And now, they're looking at this with natural eyes. And they're going, you're going to say that this temple is going to be destroyed and you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? We've seen the stones. It took Herod 46 years to mine the stones he mined and have them brought up here. Can you imagine a 46-year building project? That's a long time to build. And that's how long he was working on revamping the second temple. And they're saying, you're going to rebuild it in 3 days. But they didn't understand what he's talking about because they didn't have spiritual eyes and they had no desire. As you look down, Jesus is talking about the fact that he had to rise again from the dead. And that it had been foretold, as we read in 1 Corinthians, it had been foretold in the scriptures that these events were going to happen. You can go and you can read in the Old Testament, you can read in the Psalms, you can read in Isaiah, you can read in the other prophets, in Daniel. You can read about events coming where there would come one. In Daniel, it talks about the one who is going to come, but he's going to be cut off. And then there's going to be the time after this Messiah is cut off. There'll be a time, and that time is now, where God's grace is poured out on men and the gospel can go forth, that men might be saved before he returns again for the last week of time, or the last 7 years that Daniel speaks about. And that the Lord will come at the end of those 7 years, and he will come to establish his kingdom forever and ever. At the beginning of those 7 years will come the one who's going to try to usurp his authority and take his place, the Antichrist, if you would. Now, as you're looking at this, we see that all of those scriptures, they had all those. They had all those prophecies. They had the prophecies that had told about Jesus coming. We talked about that before as well. As a matter of fact, we looked at some of those a few months ago. And we see that the Jewish people had all of that. They didn't need signs. You see, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. If you look back into the Jews' history, you will see that the only times that they had true revival and repentance that came to Israel, and then it really came after the time of the kings, it really came to the southern kingdom after the division. Revival never came to the north. But the one that came to the southern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Judah, the only time it came is when the king would have the word of God read to the people by the priests and by the Levites. It came at the time of Jehoshaphat. It came at the time of Josiah. It came at the time of Hezekiah. And you can go and see that when revival came in earnest under those kings had the scriptures read. What happens when the scriptures are read to people and they hear the word of God? God's Spirit can convict men of their sin. They can understand that they are standing before a holy and righteous God. They have no means of salvation apart from the mercy and the grace that God would show them. And then the scriptures at the time that they were read in the what we call the Old Testament era, when they were read out of what we refer to as the Old Testament, they also spoke of this coming Messiah that would redeem mankind. And that is why you see that men like David had said, I shall one day stand with my son after his son had died, and I shall see him. Why? Because he believed in his Redeemer. It's why you have things like Job. We're in the book of Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job, most Bible scholars believe, was a contemporary of Abraham. And when Job made the statement, I shall see my Redeemer with my own eyes. Well, he said he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. So how is he going to see his Redeemer with his eyes? The Redeemer hadn't come. Because he knew that Jesus was coming. He believed in resurrection from the dead. He believed in the fact that the Messiah would come to gain victory over sin and gain victory over death. And the Old Testament saints, their faith was the same as our faith. They were looking at to this coming Messiah. We've seen him come to the cross. There's been that sign given to all mankind. You know, Jesus told them, I'll give you a sign, the most amazing sign of all. You shall destroy this temple, and in 3 days it'll I will cause it to be raised up. What a sign. And you see that that sign's been given. Do people believe it? You know, today, I don't know if you follow, we don't get the paper, but I go on to inform and just to pick up some of the news that might be in the forum. And they have a column being written by the former mayor of Fargo, John Lindgren. John Lindgren claims to be a free thinker, and he also claims to be someone who is an agnostic atheist. And he has been writing in his columns, and I haven't read I've just read the headlines, but they tell you enough. Basically, he's so anti-Christian, it just spills out of him. Same signs given to him that is given to you and me. He grew up with a knowledge of the Bible. But he has willfully chosen to deny the existence of the power of that sign and to vehemently speak against it and try to get everyone to turn against biblical Christianity and Jesus. He's not the only one, though. You look at our news media today and much of what's happened in our country, it's people turning and denying the sign of Christ. Denying the fact that Jesus went to the cross, died, and rose again from the dead. If you can get anybody to talk about Jesus at all, most people don't, they'll either say, oh, he's a fictitious character. Well, it's a little harder to deny that he existed and that he was here when he said he was here. You have people that were not followers of his that are historians like Josephus that speak of Jesus and everything and confirm everything that he said and did as far as how he was treated by the Romans, how that he was crucified, how that he was buried, how that he rose again, how that they couldn't explain it. It's all there. Yet today, people don't want to see the sign. Why don't they? Well, Jesus himself tells us. Let's look at what the scriptures say. It says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered. Well, why did they remember? Because they desired to know. They believed the word of God and they trusted. And as we read from the Apostle Paul, they had faith in Jesus. They believed that he was the Messiah. And so when he spoke these words and then it happened, they remembered. Why didn't the Sanhedrin remember? He spoke the words to them. To some of the people, some of the people that came to him, it says the Jews. Usually when it's speaking of the Jews, it's speaking of the ruling Jews. So it had to be some from the Sanhedrin. It had to be Pharisees. It had to be Sadducees. Some of those people were in that crowd that came to Jesus and said, show us signs and we'll believe for why you did these things. Why didn't they remember? Because they had no desire to remember, because it meant that they would have to change and come to believe in the Messiah themselves. And it says in Scripture, and Jesus himself said it, that they needed to repent and believe. Repent and believe. Today, one of the problems you've got in America and you've got around in many countries of the world is we're no longer calling people to repent and believe. We're no longer calling them. We're saying, you can become a believer in Jesus Christ and you can hang on to all your wickedness and your sin and you can continue to do everything that you want to do and then you can gain heaven. Jesus knew that men's hearts were like that. What does he say? So he had the disciples that believed. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Okay? So So it says, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles. They didn't believe in his name when they didn't see the miracles. That was kind of the difference between the disciples and those that followed Christ. They followed him because they said, no man has spoken like this man. What were they listening to? The Word of God. The others, they didn't want anything to do with the Word of God. But boy, did they believe in the miracles. Why? Because they wanted a king that could defeat the Romans. They wanted a king that could feed them. They wanted a king that could constantly heal them. And you know what we want today? You know, people don't want to face death. And Jesus raised people from the dead. He healed people's sicknesses. Leprosy was a big thing. And the lepers came and they were clean. They told them, go back to the priests and show yourself to them. You're clean. Why? Because he healed them. They didn't have antibiotics to fight leprosy back then. If you had leprosy, you were condemned to a death, and it was not a pleasant death. Because with leprosy, you lose all sensation. It's a disease that kills your nerves. People think that it causes your body to fall apart. That what happens is it kills the nerves, so you can't feel things. You can't touch. You don't know when you're touching things. You can't feel heat. The nerves in your skin are killed. And so what happens with lepers is they burn themselves and they do things to themselves. And so they get other infections. And then parts of their body fall off because of that. It's a horrible disease. And Jesus was healing them. He healed lepers. Well, they wanted to live. They wanted, oh, wow, this is great. What does it say that Jesus knew? They came because of the signs that he did. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What did he know? He knew they didn't really believe in him. They believed in what he did. They believed in what he did. They didn't believe in him. Does that sound like Israel in the past? God, you brought us out here to starve. God gives them manna. We are sick of this manna. We want meat. God gives them thousands of quail. We're sick of this. We need to have somebody besides Moses lead us. And it's thing after thing after thing. You give them what they want and they want something else. That sounds a lot like today in our culture as well. Oh, if you just give me this. You see, the real issue is the problem with the heart. The problem with the heart. And Jesus knew that it was a heart issue. And they were unwilling to repent and turn. They're unwilling to repent of their sin and turn to God. Turn to Jesus and receive him for who he was, the Messiah that came to save them, to give them victory over their sin. Well, because they wouldn't repent and turn to him, he told them the sign, but they wouldn't believe. You know, the sad thing today, many people, we get calls here all the time at church, not all the time, but don't get a lot of calls, but we get some calls from people. And the majority of the time we get calls here, it's not, do you teach the Bible? I've got some real problems in my life. Can God help me? I don't get those calls. You know, I've got my electric bill is due. Does your church have a fund to help pay electric bills? My rent is due this month, and they told me at the YWCA to call churches in town and see if some of them could give me some money for the rent. But if you talk to them about, well, would you be willing to come to church, or would you be willing to sit down and hear the gospel? Well, is there another church I could call? You see, they're like these Jews. Show us a sign that says that you have this authority. But I'll show you a sign, and it's a sign that you all need to hear. It's a sign where you shall destroy me, and I will be raised again, because I have victory, and I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a sign that proves I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because I am the one that has given you life itself. If you knew who you were speaking to, I am the one that by my word you came into existence. But Jesus didn't tell them that. He told them, I know your heart. That's why it's amazing when you get a man that comes up to you and says, I don't want to go to hell. What do I got to do to be saved? We need to pray for more people like that. That when you talk to them and you begin to, and how do you talk to them? You know, I ask you to continue to pray for Jim Simmons. He's struggling through the concept because he knows he's dying. Now, in many ways, God's been very merciful to the man. Because let's say that he would have just gone out and gotten in his car one day and driven down the road, gotten in a car accident and been killed. But God allowed him to have a disease that there's no cure for. And he knows he's dying. And he also knows when he dies, something happens after you die. And it's heaven or hell. And he doesn't want to go to hell. So has God been merciful? God's been very merciful in allowing him to come face to face with his mortality that he can choose. Pray for me. I told him I'll call him once a week and just talk to him. And I've been giving him assignments to read the Bible. I sent him some tracts, and I sent him Dave Hunt's book, and I sent him Mark Cahill's little booklet. But I told him, this is what I want you to do. Because he said, I'm afraid. I don't have any assurance. So what do you tell him to do? I can tell him all day long till I'm blue in the face. Jesus died. All you have to do is have faith. Well, how does he get that faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So I told him, you go home. And this week his assignment was Ephesians chapters 5 and 6, Romans chapter 8, and Philippians chapter 4. Because I told him, you need to change your thinking. That's what repentance is. You need to change your thinking. And the Scriptures tell us how we change our thinking by placing the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds. What's the problem with our culture? We do not allow the Word of God to be placed before anyone anymore. Most churches don't want to talk about repentance and the Word of God. And consequently, you get phone calls for, and these are real needs that people have. I don't deny them, and you know, but the problem is there's not enough money in our fellowship to pay all those needs. But we've got something that we can give them for free. This meets the greatest need they have. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew the hearts of the people that were asking the question. He knew the heart of the majority of the people that said, we believe! I flipped on, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I flipped on the TV, I like to watch the news, and I flipped on and was going through the channels, and there was this guy who claimed to be a Christian, and he said, God has been so amazing. I pray over people, and they are materially blessed. And there's been people that have just gotten all of these material things. I'm thinking, he is so excited because he's praying over people and they're getting materially blessed. And then, as I got in the car, the station was on, and there's this guy on Sunday mornings on KFGO and the station happened to be on KFGO, and he's a financial consultant, and he's talking about, you know, the bond market could collapse, and we're waiting for a giant correction in the stock exchange, and I'm going, okay. So you got the one guy talking about material blessings who should be talking about spiritual blessings, and the guy who should be talking about material things is telling us, don't put your trust in your money. What's wrong with this picture? It's all upside down and backwards. The Christian should be saying, if you've got needs, God will meet them. Because he said to he told the disciples, I know you need food, I know you need water, I know you need clothes, I know you need a place to live. But the thing is, you need something even more than that. You need a relationship with me. Some people say that there's a direct correlation between all of these disasters that are going on and things that are going on even behind the scenes now towards Israel. And what are going on behind the scenes now towards true Bible-believing Christians. It's some of these islands in the Caribbean, which used to be the places that the rich people used to go and play, they're gone. It's going to take more than 3 days to raise these back up. Puerto Rico, they said it's so devastated in Puerto Rico, which already had financial problems. St. Martin, which is one of the islands that the rich people go to, it's right next to St. Bart's. They're the two rich ones. There's all these giant yachts that are in there. There's private jets that are there. They said St. Martin's, I don't know, 75% wiped out, something like that. God's trying to get our attention. It's not material things. It's spiritual. And you've got a spiritual problem. But I've got the answer. May we hear what Jesus was telling them. And may we know the one sign that is there. God can heal people. We're praying for Cammie. You prayed for my daughter. We pray for Carrie. We pray for other people that have physical needs. We ask that God would heal them through His mercy and His grace. But the thing is, even if He heals them, they're still going to die one day. And they need to be prepared for that day. Are they? That's what Jesus was talking about. I gave you a sign. The sign of my death, burial, and resurrection. The greatest sign of all, because it sets you free. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand this. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you just place your word in our hearts and help us to be able to set people free through the power of your word and the blood of your son and the conviction of your spirit. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.